I could be wrong, but it could be something very important. It's an issue that people need to look into.
I would think there would be very significant disruptions in the tidal system if the moon's orbit was changing. But
yeah, I would be. I mean, yeah. I could be wrong on this, but clearly a lot of stuff is happening. And more to the point is that there was, as I mentioned before, there was a blue moon, which is two full moons in a month, December of 2009. And it was a blue moon in January in Asia, but a blue moon in December in the West. And it coincided exactly with the New Year's. And the moon, if you actually saw it, was actually blue, which is not supposed to be. And what I'm trying to say is I believe we're dealing with people who have, you know, when I've talked to these Illuminati and people, they say that they're heirs to a very ancient technology and science.
Right.
And a lot of what they do is based on what we call astrology, or they make their long-term planning based on movements of the skies. So it's a little bit like you have some Jesuits show up, you know, 10 years before you're due for a full solar eclipse. And then they try to convert you and they teach you their stuff. And then when the time comes, they say, hey, if you don't convert, we're going to destroy the sun.
Right.
I think we're dealing with people who have been planning something for a very, very long time. We should not underestimate what we're dealing with here. We're clearly in unexplored territory, and we need to keep very, very realistic, scientific, but also open-minded as we go approach the situation.
Yeah, this is an interesting sideline, because I was just contacted out of nowhere after a couple of years by a guy who worked directly with the Reagan family, worked directly with the Clintons, has classification many levels above the need to know of the president. He contacted me out of nowhere, pulled a lot of strings to find me, and then said that beginning in November is when they're trying to get all this stuff done. He said there was a November 2010 window, but there's also a 2012 window. And he told me, David, regardless of whether you believe that there's anything to the 2012 story or not, these guys do. And they have planned their entire movement to this New World Order around the idea of what they think is happening in 2012, and they've calibrated all of their plans around that. So whether anybody wants to believe that the Mayan calendar means anything or not, these guys have organized themselves to make that day significant in terms of what they're going to do on the planet.
Well, you know, there was I wish I'd remember his name, but there's a famous French magician who did a bunch of math, and he predicted the day he was going to die. And when that day came around, he was so scared, he committed suicide. but, you know, I think we are dealing with a self-fulfilling prophecy here.
Right.
And these people have been planning something, I'm sure of that, because they told me they wanted to kill 4 billion people.
Right.
So clearly they've been planning something, and we're doing everything we can to stop them, because we don't want to see 4 billion people die.
Well, this China announcement is different than what you guys are doing with the Danielle Del Bosco lawsuit with Davos UN Forum, right? I mean, those are two different things.
Well, this is different. The Chinese announcement is something different, but what we're told by the Asian societies that we have these trillion-dollar checks, and we should go ahead with the lawsuit. And accuse them of stealing it. But they said we cannot try to cash the check for 2 years.
Hmm.
In other words, there's a freeze on money until they make sure all the corruption is gone. So
right,
we have
right.
a trillion-dollar check, and we can sue the Federal Reserve Board and the Davos World Forum and the UN for stealing it, but it's too early to try to cash it. So they're saying, yes, we need to show the Western legal authorities need to show their independence and honesty by going after these people. And they should. I mean, they're murderers and they're thieves, and they shouldn't be acting with impunity.
I think the whole world is going to get behind that. I mean, they don't really have any supporters left.
No, and this is a case where military types and police types who believe in the rule of law, who are very square and straight and you know, don't want to do anything against the system, would be very, very happy to have a chance to work within the system legally, get rid of these scumbags.
Okay, you just heard my interview with Benjamin Fulford. We did discuss some more things after this recording cut off. I'm sorry about that. I don't know what happened exactly. But one of the things that I asked him about was the Pentagon, because he claimed that this group contacted him and said that they were working with the Pentagon and that they wanted to disclose portal technology, literally Stargate technology. Fulford has revealed multiple groups that want to do things for the planet that are so remarkable that it's absolutely mind-boggling. They want to bring out free energy. They want to bring out gravity shielding. They want to be able to desalinate ocean water. They want to be able to literally heal the planet and help us move into a golden age. There are certain negative groups that don't want that to happen, and they are fighting like crazy to stop it. As I talked about in the introductory MP3 that's a companion to this one, available on DivineCosmos.com, they are trying to set off the New Madrid Fault in the U.S., just like what happened with the Fukushima disaster in Japan. They want to set off about 15 different nuclear reactors that are along that fault line. I don't think that this is something where all we have to do is try to notify people and warn people about what's happening. I do believe you should do that, okay? I think it's important to spread the word that these people are doing this, that the technology is real, that HARP does exist, that it can actually create cataclysms, that Japan has all sorts of funky stuff around it, including weird magnetometer readings on HARP in the days preceding the quake, including patents that people are now digging up that show that this could work. There was a quote from Secretary of Defense William Cohen where he says others are engaging in a type of eco-terrorism where they can trigger earthquakes. So look, this stuff is out there. You don't have to be a skeptic anymore. We know that there are very opportunistic things going on that seem to benefit these guys at just the right time. In 2010, you had the Haiti earthquake. Haiti was apparently the country where all the funds were being transferred through as their bank accounts were being wiped out. You then had a massive earthquake in Chile. Chile was the country at the head of an alliance in South America where all the different countries were coming together. They had a huge summit. They declared Chile to be the head of where this was all going to be happening, and boom, the next day they get this massive earthquake. Right during that same time, in fact, directly after the Chile quake, all these oarfish start washing up on shore in Japan. Now, these are deep-sea fish that don't usually appear on the surface, but in Japanese lore, it's a precursor to earthquakes. And then a year later, bam, you get this big quake in Japan. Fulford sources are saying that there was a nuclear weapon involved in this, that it drilled down into the crust and that it was set off. I don't know if that's part of what they're going to try to do here in the U.S. We really don't know. There may be some kind of an earthquake. It's possible. I certainly don't think it's going to be anywhere near as bad or as severe as what they want. And as I described in the introductory blog, you have the power to control the outcome. In my new book, The Source Field Investigations, I give hard scientific proof that these various cataclysmic activities of the Earth are being driven by the gravitational field. And specifically, as gravity flows into the Earth, it has a rotational movement in it. This is not much different than the Coriolis effect, which means that water swirls down the toilet bowl in one direction in the northern hemisphere, another direction in the southern hemisphere. We know there's a spin field in gravity, we just don't realize exactly how it works and what it's doing. So all I'm saying is there is a spin field in gravity, and gravity is actually the energy of consciousness. I have very hardcore scientific proof with over 1,300 different pieces of documentation to prove this, coming out in the new book. So when that's out there, it's going to be a very powerful tool that we can use for disclosure. Up until then, I can share with you the gist of what's in there. And the point is that our consciousness can either interrupt these spin fields of gravity or can strengthen them. When we go into a state of meditation, we create nice, smooth sine waves in our brainwave patterns. You can see that on EKG. It'll be printed right out there. I'm sorry, an EEG, rather. That's the brainwave one. You look at those brainwaves, they're nice and smooth. Well, that's not just happening in your mind. You're actually creating waves of energy that can provably go outside your physical body and ripple into the environment. Those waves strengthen the natural spiraling currents in gravity, whereas If you think hateful thoughts, stressful thoughts, angry thoughts, if you're trying to control people, if you're having a bad day, your brain waves actually show that. It's a different state of consciousness. It's more scattered. And as a result, what's actually happening is that you're creating friction. You've now set up a wall that these currents of gravity have to flow against. And it's like somebody throwing the brakes on. It's an interruption. It gets in the way. When enough people do that in a given area, the spin field can't flow at all. It gets stopped up. But the currents are still moving. And what this means is that the currents build up pressure against the area they can't move through. That pressure gets higher and higher, and eventually, the pressure has to blow through. It has to do something. It has to break out of the confinement that it's been in. And what you get is a big nasty earthquake or a volcanic eruption, which is the result of the pressure in the mantle, this fluid-like mantle energy that gets stopped up, and then it blasts out through the surface of the earth in a volcano, or it creates plates rubbing against each other in an earthquake. Nobody has ever really been tying together the relationship between earthquakes and the fact that they're floating on liquid. That's what I'm doing. I'm telling you that the liquid has currents in it, just like you see currents in the atmosphere. It would be impossible for that liquid to remain still due to the centrifugal force of the Earth's rotation. And I'm telling you that the ancient peoples were right when they said that our health directly affects the health of the Earth. When we are in positive thoughts, the Earth's climate is good, the weather is good, there's no earthquakes, there's no volcanoes, and when we exist in stress, there's stress in the Earth. So right now, again, to bring it right up to date with what Benjamin Fulford just posted this past Tuesday, just a couple days ago as I'm making this announcement, there is an attempt to attack the New Madrid Fault. This is very serious. I don't want to spread fear and doom, and I want to give you the tools of knowledge to let you know that you could potentially influence the outcome. The Russian pyramid studies have proven that when they built these pyramids in Russia, this was done with PVC pipe and fiberglass, some of which were 144 feet tall. They're steep, more like obelisks. That there actually was a noticeable change in the weather patterns, in the earthquake activity. The earthquakes all but completely stopped. There was just a bunch of little ones that didn't do anything. The ozone hole closes up. Severe storms are deflected from the area. And most interestingly, these pyramids also had a noticeable effect on human consciousness. If people were given psychotropic drugs like LSD that would normally make them have schizoidal symptoms, they stopped having those symptoms around the pyramid. Their mind energy was regularized. And granite that was stored inside the pyramid was then built into various prisons in Russia. And all those prisoners experienced a remarkable behavioral change where there stopped being violence in the prisons. People stopped getting off of, they actually stopped alcohol and drug addictions. All kinds of amazing things happened just from the pyramid energy. So that proves that the pyramid energy is harnessing the energy of mind. I believe the reason why this works is that gravity is the result of flowing energy moving into every atom in the earth. These atoms need that energy to survive, and so those atoms are also flowing into the shape of a pyramid. That creates a fluid-like current, a vortex, if you will, like a whirlpool, just by the simple shape of the pyramid. So you could have a teepee, you could have a cathedral with its domed roof, you could have those interesting domed buildings you see in the Islamic countries, you could have a Vietnamese rice farmer who has that weird conical hat that he wears. All of these things are technologies that actually will increase health, increase vitality, because they're harnessing this source field. They're actually creating a vortex current. Now, we can create those currents in the earth. We can strengthen the currents that the earth needs to function in a healthy way. Pyramid technology will do this. The Russian pyramids did reduce earthquakes. They did reduce severe weather. And I also talk about in the other MP3 that you might have heard, the introduction, that our consciousness can, in fact, reduce terrorism and fatalities all around the world. A mere 7,000 people in meditation created a 72% reduction in terrorism around the world. That means literally 3 out of 4 people decided not to pick up that gun, decided not to blow off that bomb. but rather to do positive things rather than negative things. Now, how in the heck does that work? I show extensive evidence in my new book that we are all thinking online with a global consciousness, a part of our minds, a part of our thinking mind that you're actually using right now as you hear my words, is not in your brain at all. That's why when certain people make inventions, other people invent it at the same time in various parts around the world. This has been documented. It's gone on for years. There's all sorts of very fascinating new experiments that I reveal in my book showing solid proof that we have a collective mind and that when certain people solve something, other people then come up with a solution much, much faster and much, much easier. I also go into this in my weekend convergence workshops and lectures. The important point I want to make right now is that whether you believe that it's true or not, I would say, what harm can be done in trying? If these guys are trying to do up the New Madrid Fault, if they want to blow off all these nuclear reactors and basically wipe out the U.S., isn't it worth your time to try this out? Isn't it worth your time to at least see if maybe it works? I certainly think it is. I don't want us to feel disempowered as if there's nothing we can do while these guys are fiddling on the brink of their own destruction with trying to ruin the Earth, or at least a good part of America. I think that we do have the power. I've shown the evidence. I've done the homework. This is not speculation anymore. This is science. So what I'm asking for you to do with me right now is a little meditative exercise. I'd like you to take a nice deep breath with me. I'd like you to visualize a positive future for this planet. A future in which all the things that Fulford has been talking about can come to pass, or something similar, whatever is for the highest and best good of this planet. Just visualize that with me. Breathe through and breathe into the trust, the knowingness that we do live in a metaphysical reality, that there are forces of consciousness out there that love us more than we can imagine, that are guiding and protecting this planet through its birthing process as we are moving into a much more enlightened and noble period of our history, where none of this negativity will be allowed to persist. Everybody knows about it. It's being eradicated. There is nothing these negative forces can do to stop it. However, we do have control over the outcome. So as you breathe with me now, we can send our energy into that fault line. Visualize the Mississippi River running down the middle of the U.S. Visualize that fault line that's underneath it. I want you to see the stress in that fault line going away. I want you to ease that stress out with your mind now. Visualize this in your mind. Visualize what might even look like red, nasty, colored energy. Just that red is going away. And what's coming in instead is a blue. It's a cooling color. It's a soothing, healing energy. You love the earth. You love this planet that has given you life. It has given you the opportunity to be aware, to have all of the experiences that you've had. You can send your love. We send that love to the planet. We send that love into that fault line. We take the stress away. We ease out the stress. We don't need this to happen. We don't need to have a cataclysm. We can breathe it through. We can seal that prayer, that hope for a positive future. Today, in this moment, we make that covenant with our own higher self. We breathe out the anger. We breathe out the hatred. We breathe out the stress in our own lives. We know that as we pursue personal healing, that holographically we're pursuing planetary healing. We take those events that are causing us to be stressed out, to be angry, to be afraid, to be sad, and we just let it go. Because ultimately, in the greater sense, we do want to responsibly deal with whatever is in front of us as a problem, both individually and in the world. We do not want to be ostriches burying our heads in the sand. We want to take proactive steps to heal the planet. And we also want to do our internal manicuring. We want to heal what's going on inside. We want to have peace in our minds, peace in our hearts, so that there will be peace in the world, because it's a hologram. We're all sharing the same mind, and as we think peaceful thoughts, we're re-uploading peace into the hologram. which regularizes these spin currents and gravity so that the weather smooths out, the earthquakes don't have to happen, the volcanic eruptions don't have to happen, and we can glide through this transitional process and embrace the future that has been predicted in so many ancient cultures, a golden age in which things like levitation, telekinesis, telepathy, instantaneous healing are as effortless as walking down the street or breathing. I'm David Wilcock. I recommend you do this exercise right now. It's very important. We do seem to be right on the brink of some very intriguing disclosure things that are going to happen. Again, please go back and listen to part one on my website, divinecosmos.com. That is also free. That's all I have the time for now. Both these MP3s should be able to fit on CDs if you want to burn them that way. Thank you so much. I really appreciate all your positive, loving words of support and encouragement. Please help us with this campaign to get Source Field Investigations out there on a big scope. It's not that difficult. I thank you so much, and peace be with you.